Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, and we're continuing on with our February series on the big metaphysical, epistemological, ontological questions of life. And it's not getting any easier, folks. This week we're tackling the question, is the universe physical? So is the universe physical? Well, it's not just going to be a short, easy answer, I'm afraid. And I'm not here to offer clear answers. I mean, listen, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not going to hold my opinions back. But I don't want you to take them as answers. I want you to take them as an opinion, one that you might think is informed, one you might think is wildly misinformed. You know, I don't really care if you agree with me on all my points, but I just want you to encourage questioning. I want to encourage questioning, sorry. I want to encourage you to question these things for yourself and to really ask, is the world physical? What does that even mean? You know, if I say the world is physical, what does that mean? What does it mean for something to be physical? What does it mean for something not to be physical? You know, and I don't want to shove questions in your head either, because that would ruin the process. I want you to be curious, okay? So I'm going to give you a lot of opinions here, and they are opinions, they're grounded in knowledge and practice and study and, you know, factual information and so on, but I don't have the answers to these things. These are very difficult questions, and the truth behind them is actually something that's very difficult to express. So the reason I'm saying this is because often people ask these questions wanting to know the answer as if somebody knew the answer. And I think it's a grave misunderstanding and a grave misconception to think that someone would have the answer to these things. Because these are just like the foundation of life. And life is very mysterious and paradoxical, and at some point it becomes incomprehensible. So what are we talking about with this question? You know, let's look at the question itself. Is the universe physical? This is a question that, you know, it really informs most of science. It informs a lot of a huge chunk of philosophy. It informs a lot of armchair philosophy. It informs a lot of informal philosophy. And it's so fundamental because it's not that the answer changes how we live the answer changes our experience of life, but it's that this question underlies our experience of life very much, because the question of physicality underlies the most mundane daily acts. And it's such a fundamental question. The basic paradigm that people have when it comes to life being physical is, well, first of all, it is physical. But what does that mean? The basic paradigm is that the world consists of hard, solid matter that extends endlessly in all directions, separated by empty space. What do I mean by that? I sort of mean, you know, right now, if you've got your eyes open and you're looking around you, you can see solid objects, right? You can maybe see the walls in your house, you can maybe see doors, you can maybe see surfaces, or if you're outside, you can see the street, you can see trees, you can see the grass, people. Okay, these are solid objects, what we call solid matter. It's not just that, it's that those objects are separated by space, so they're clearly limited. You know, a door starts at one side and ends at the other side, and it's got a clear delineation. And between the door and the window, there's a clear space that's completely empty, and the objects themselves are not empty. And this extends endlessly. So, well, the universe isn't literally endless as far as we know, but I'm using this in a sort of metaphorical way. I mean endlessly in that as far as your visual field extends and as far as you can imagine outside your visual field, you have this sense that the world is physical, that it's physical objects separated by space. Physical objects can mean anything from a pen to an entire street. You know, it's just physical matter and it's separated out by air and so on. So that's the basic paradigm. Now, obviously, I'm going to question this paradigm because if I wasn't, I probably wouldn't be doing this episode, right? And my basic conclusion is not as simple as that. But I'm not, for one thing, I'm not just going to like throw the paradigm under a bus. I will a little bit, but I'm not completely, because it exists. This paradigm exists for a reason, and it has validity to it. However, there's some very serious problems with it, and there's three. This is a very good segue. I'm proud of this one. There's three very simple problems with this paradigm. Think of this as like my introductory critique of this paradigm. First of all, we covered this last week, spent an hour talking about this last week. If you want, go back and find the episode that I did last week on Does an External World Exist? My main conclusion there, and that's my first, this is my first problem with this sort of materialistic paradigm that we tend to hold, is that you cannot actually prove an external world exists. It is an assumption that you make about your experience. Present experience is all there is, right? And then the idea of there being something external to what you're experiencing right now is simply an idea within your current experience, right? So when we say, and obviously often we don't say this, but this is how we conceptualize the world often, we think of it as beyond our visual field, beyond what we're currently experiencing. It's not only that there's something beyond that, it's that that something is matter, and it's solid and it's stable and all the rest of it. It's like this endlessly extending kind of physical world beyond what we're currently experiencing. If you can't prove that external world exists, then you can prove even less that that external world is solid, right? That's the first problem. The second problem, and this comes from fairly modern physics, not super modern, but you know, it's pretty modern. It's certainly more modern than Newtonian physics, is that when you analyze the atomic structure of physical matter, and when I say physical matter, I literally just mean, you know, the floor, the ceiling, the surfaces, the objects around you, just everything that seems physical to you, when you analyze, and even your own body and your brain and everything that's made of physical matter, quote unquote, when you analyze that at an atomic level, at a scale that is sufficiently small, you realize that it is 99.999999. I don't know how many nines it is, but five or six nines after the decimal. Empty space. Only a tiny percentage of physical matter is actually physical in the way that we think it is. And I don't mean it's empty space in that it's like air, you know, it's filled with air like a balloon. No, it's absolutely empty. It's literally between, you know, the space between everything we call matter is completely empty. If it wasn't empty, there would be matter there. And it wouldn't be empty space. It's completely empty, right? So whenever you're looking at a door, that is mostly empty space. Obviously, you don't see it like that, but on a, like the fact of it is that on an atomic level, it's 99.99999% empty space. Just to say, I'm not going to say the nines right every time, and I don't think it's that important for this purpose. I can just say it's so close to being pure empty space. Not air, absolute empty space. So, well, that's a huge point. I'm not going to go into that right now because I could talk about that specific point for quite a while. But clearly that presents a problem for our materialistic paradigm. Third, when you dream at night, the dream world seems physical to you. You know, when you're dreaming about being with your friends, or you're dreaming about, I don't know, something that happened in your past, you've got a surround, an environment around you. You know, the dream takes place in a certain environment. It might be the street you grew up in. It might be a place you've never been to before. But, you know, it feels, it looks like a physical world. It looks like the ordinary world. And it feels that way in the dream. When you're dreaming, you don't fucking realize that you're dreaming. It feels like you're in waking life. And it feels physical. What's my point? That clearly... clearly physicality isn't an absolute thing. You know, if it can feel like our dreams are physical when we're dreaming, then clearly something is up here. You know, it's not as absolute as we think it is, if literally we can sort of construct physicality in our dreams when there is no physicality in terms of, you know, the world, the waking 3D world. That physicality is gone. And yet when we're dreaming, it feels like we're in a physical world. So clearly there's something not quite right there. And I'm not sure what the answer is to that, actually, but it just shows you what our nervous system is capable of. And it's kind of like, well, if our nervous system can do that when we're dreaming, it can literally construct a physical world from nowhere for an hour or 2 hours, however long we're dreaming at night. What can it fucking do when we're waking and we're actually in what we think is a real world? Again, I'm not saying I have the answer to this. It's a very difficult question to answer. I'm just saying, look how problematic it is, folks, to say that physicality, you know, that the world is physical and it's stable and it's real and all the rest of it. It's a very slippery thing, okay? And these 3 points, the first one being, you cannot prove an external world exists, as I talked about last week in a lot of detail. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please listen to that episode. The second point, that matter, what we call physical matter, is actually 99.999% empty space, with more nines probably. And that when you dream at night, the dream feels physical to you. You put those three together and you realize that this physical thing isn't so clear cut after all. What the hell does physicality mean? And what the hell does the world is physical and the physical world extends endlessly around me? What does that mean? You know, and that's what I'm getting at today. I'm exploring the intricacies of all this, because even when we look at three basic critiques like that, it shows you that it's not as cut and dried as it usually seems when we're living our life. So I've kind of given like a critique of our usual paradigm. Now I'm going to not necessarily support it or advocate for it. I suppose I am playing devil's advocate a little bit, but I'm going to say what we can undoubtedly say beyond having to fully buy into materialism. So, you know, what I'm more asking the question, why do we believe in this paradigm? Because there is a reason for it. There's actually many reasons, and I've got a whole list here. First of all, the world certainly behaves as though it were physical. You know, if I'm drinking a cup of coffee, I know that if I rest it on the table, it's going to just sit there. It's not going to move, you know, unless I kick the table. It's not going to move, right? For example, and it's not going to like sink through the table. Another example, you know, if you touch a wall, that your hand's not going to like go through the wall, and the wall's not just going to like change shape, and it's not going to suddenly behave like a wave or something like that. It's not, you know, it's solid matter. You know, you could punch the wall, please don't do that, but you could punch the wall, and unless you're really, really strong, the wall's not going to move, you know. The most sort of far out spiritual New Age people, if you ask them to punch a wall, they would probably retract and say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to hurt myself, right? So the world does behave physically. You know, as much as we want to deny physicality, it behaves physically, right? If you tried to walk through your front door without opening it, well, you're not going to get out. You're never going to leave your house if you never literally open the door. You need to open the thing because it's physical, or at least it behaves as physical matter should behave according to our paradigms. Okay, so clearly, that the basic experiential evidence is that, you know, things have edges to them. Things have matter. Things have a mass to them, whether or not we believe it, right? That's an undeniable experiential fact. And it's a good thing. It's a good idea to treat our world as a physical world. Why? Well, to give a kind of stupid example, but it's just to show you how stark and obvious what I'm saying is. For example, right, if you wanted to walk out your front door and you decided, I know, today I'm not going to get my keys and open the front door like a normal person and walk out and then close it again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and run. I'm going to run from one end of the corridor to the other and I'm going to see if I can run through the front door. Right, what do you think would happen? Well, hopefully you would have a reflex reaction before you got to the front door. In the worst case scenario, you could probably end up in hospital with like serious concussion and a terrible, injury of some degree, right? Because if you just treat the world as this non-physical thing that has no rules to it, you're not going to get very far, right? And you could seriously hurt yourself. Look at young children who don't know basic facts about the world, and they don't understand like things like heat and cold and sharp, an object being sharp. They don't understand things like, on the road, you don't want to step out onto the road because you can get hit over by a car that weighs a ton and you're dead in a second. You know, on a stupidly simple practical level, the world is physical and we behave like that all the time. What I'll also say is if the world didn't behave like this, it couldn't exist as we know it. You know, if the world was just like a soup of experiences and objects appearing and disappearing and deforming and reforming, it would be, I'm not saying that life couldn't exist because it might just exist in a way that we can't imagine, but life as you know it, your life couldn't exist. My life couldn't exist. You know, you couldn't wake up in the same bed every day and get up and do the same things all the time if there was no stability and there was no sense of physicality and if things just lost their shape and their form and their mass all the time, like some kind of like abstract weird painting. The world behaves as it does, and that is a good thing because it helps us live our life. I'll also say that all the physics and all the maths and all the kind of innovation and science that is done, based on assuming that objects have mass and they exert force and so on, has really transformed human society in extremely powerful ways that we usually take completely for granted. And so clearly there is something right about the paradigm. Clearly there's something to be said for it, right? And clearly, beyond the metaphysical implications, there is utility. It's interesting, this is kind of a side point. It's not that far away from what we're talking about, but I remember watching a documentary about quantum physics. I'm not a physicist, but I've studied physics to a reasonable level when I was younger, and I kind of, I understand enough to at least sort of watch documentaries like this. I remember it was a documentary on quantum physics that basically once they discovered a lot of the weird quantum properties of electrons and matter and so on, people started asking, what does this mean for our understanding of, physicality and Newtonian physics and the materialistic paradigm and so on? And basically what a lot of physicists said was, well, it doesn't really matter what the implications are because it's extraordinarily powerful. And, you know, progressive and sort of anti-establishment physicists like to use this to kind of shit on the establishment and say, well, you're not thinking metaphysically, you just want to, like, you know, sell your inventions to the government and you want to, you know, you want to get research grants and you're not, you don't really care about, you know, the actual philosophy of it. But actually, isn't utility a proof of its own? You know, it's like, in business, for example, goodness me, I'm going off on tangents and tangents, but let me, this is a very powerful point and I'll come back, I'll make it very explicit in a minute. In business, for example, what matters? Do your dreams matter? Do your ideas about the marketplace matter? Do your ideas about your product and how good it is matter? Or does it matter at the end of the day that you're bringing money in? You know, it's not that the two are completely separate, but ultimately, the proof is in how much money are you bringing in. I'm not saying that's the only proof, but it's a very sure way of having, like, sanity, right? And so this is the point I'm making, that the materialistic paradigm is functionally very, very useful. And so we have to take that as proof of something, right? Even if we can poke metaphysical holes in it, left, right, and center, there is, you know, we can't deny its utility, and we can't deny that it must be doing something right. Similar point I'm going to make now is that, you know, even if we have some cool idea that the world isn't physical, this is almost like a cliche, and it was actually one of the reasons I was a bit apprehensive about recording this episode, not just because this is a huge question to ask, but because it would be so easy for me to sit here and just, like, shit on the materialistic paradigm, which so many people love to do. But no matter how kind of, progressive, postmodern, and spiritual and new age you identify yourself to be, the fact is that you do everything that I've spoken about here on a basic everyday level. Regardless of how you conceptualize it, you treat the world as if it's physical, and if you didn't, you might be dead by now. Because if you just jumped out the window and said, oh, I can fly, gravity's an illusion, physicality's an illusion, well, good luck with that, friends. You know, this is where belief and kind of wishful thinking about the world collides with brute reality. Like, you can have all the spiritual ideas in the world that the world isn't physical and all the rest of it, but when it comes down to it, what happens? Like, on a day-to-day level, what are you doing? You're operating within the physical world. And there's a reason for that, and I'll propose it's because the world behaves physically, right? And that is a subtle point. I'm not just taking materialism to be absolutely true. It's a subtle point I'm going to go into later. But I just want you to notice that, like, what is your actual experience of life? And I would propose to you that your actual experience of life a lot of the time is that this is a fucking physical world that you're living in, right? regardless of how we want to conceptualize it, that's certainly how it behaves a lot of the time, right? Now, again, behaving like something is not the same as it being completely material in the way that we usually think. So again, that's a nuanced point, but I just want you to have that nuance and not BS yourself, because frankly, I've BS'd myself and I see a lot of people BSing themselves. So let's be nuanced about that. Another point, that matter runs on its own laws. You know, matter has very concrete laws that physicists have been studying for hundreds of years and have understood very well, and seems to be independent of time and place and country and planet even. And, you know, it's like its own system, its own its own kind of alternative reality. You know, we can't understand the internal world too much, you know, our psychology, through understanding how a pen might fall to the ground if we drop it, or how water behaves under different conditions and so on. That doesn't really help us understand our psychology, and vice versa. It runs on its own patterns. And so this gives it its own reality. Like, it's you can't change the laws of physics just by believing that they're different from how they are, right? Even if you believe you can, you can't. And there's no evidence that that is possible. You see? So the it has its own inner logic to it. And this is actually why we come to feel separate from the world. This is why a fundamental part of the human experience is feeling like we are separate from the world around us. And part of the reason I think that is, and it's quite an obvious, it's nothing really that profound, it's something quite obvious, it's easy to take for granted, is that the world does seem to behave, you know, in its own way and independently of our beliefs about it and how we want it to be. And so that gives credence to the materialistic paradigm that says that, you know, there's a physical world and it's made of matter, and all this matter is separated by air and, you know, space and space and time, and it's independent of what we think about it. You know, it's independent of our mind. So I've done two things so far, just to kind of, I'm doing this little update because this is dense, I know, and there's a lot I'm saying here. What I've done is I've given you three very simple critiques of the materialistic paradigm, but then I've pointed out some very obvious things that explain why the materialistic paradigm is important without needing to believe in it and without having to abandon the idea that there is no external world. Nothing that I've said here, from my point of view, contradicts anything that I said last week. You know, the world does appear to behave physically. You know, the world around us, the world that we inhabit and that we live out our day-to-day lives in. So let me switch gear now, and I'm going to talk about my proposal and talking about, you know, the very fine details of the issue of physicality as I see it. Right, first of all, that a very simple observation is that physicality is a closed loop. What do I mean by that? You can only justify something being physical by assuming that physicality is as you believe it is. You know, if I say to you, is that door physical? And you go up and you knock on it and you say, yeah, it's physical. And I say, well, why is it physical? Give me give me some explanation that doesn't require you to already assume it, you know, to take your own paradigm for granted. To me, I don't think you can do that, because you already have to kind of take physicality for granted. You already have to take the materialistic paradigm for granted. What I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that you're believing that the door is physical. What I'm saying is that your concept of physicality is reinforcing your belief in the physicality itself. And when I ask you, what does it mean for something to be physical? You always have to refer back to the fact of physicality. That's called incompleteness. And what it basically means is that it's self-referential. And so that is very problematic, because it's kind of like you enter this loop where your pre-existing notions of physicality precondition you into believing in it and reinforcing those very notions. Now, what I'm not saying with this, I'm not using that as a way to discredit the materialistic paradigm. What I'm showing you is the nature of how belief and how reinterpretation works, right? And I'm just I want you to be aware of that, not just in this example, but in all examples, that when you have a concept of how something is, it's very difficult to question that concept, because to question the concept, the only way to do that is to let go of the concept as you know it. And so as long as you want to believe in it, you cannot question it. You see, the it's such a stupidly simple problem, but it's like a huge obstacle to getting anywhere with this questioning and this work that we're doing. So there's another very important point I want to make, which is part of my proposal, is that life appears to be physical, right? Because that's how it works. And I've described that in very simple and concrete ways for you. And if it didn't, you couldn't live your life as you do. If it didn't work that way, you couldn't live your life as you do. So experientially, it is physical. But that doesn't mean it is physical in the way that we tend to think it is physical. You see the difference there. You can have the direct experience of physicality, but then how you conceptualize that and how you fit that into your bigger paradigm of how life works is a different matter. You know, I can have the same experience of the physical world around me as you do, but then, you know, that doesn't mean I believe materialism is absolutely true in all circumstances, and you might. And that difference is huge, you see. So what I'm saying is I'm giving credence to our experience of life, which is that undoubtedly that it's physical. However, what I'm saying is watch for how you generalize that and watch for how you extrapolate that into realms that you cannot actually know. You know, for the external world thing is a good example. I explained in detail last week why you cannot assume automatically that an external world exists, and that is an assumption. And so how can you assume that a physical external world exists, right? Because that's an even bigger assumption to make. And if you believe in physicality really fervently and you don't realize that, okay, experiencing something as physical doesn't necessarily have to entail a metaphysical, ontological interpretation, then your mind opens and you realize, oh, maybe it's not quite how I thought it was. Another simple observation that I alluded to earlier is that clearly our experience of physicality, which I've given a lot of credence to, and I've said that regardless of what we believe the world to be, we do experience our present experience, experience of the world that we have. It appears physical, we can't deny that. But clearly our experience of physicality is kind of an illusion, because as I said to you, the physical matter around us is 99% empty space. It certainly doesn't look like that, does it? It doesn't look empty at all. It looks completely, you know, it looks seamless. You know, look at an object next to you. It doesn't look like there's holes in it, unless there literally are holes in it. But if you're looking at a glass or something, it doesn't look like the surface of the glass is mostly empty space. But it literally is. And I'm this is a fact of science. It is mostly empty space. Okay, so clearly your experience of it being seamless and being, you know, a smooth surface, and of it being, you know, this kind of limited object is an illusion, not in a sort of like, in some kind of, you know, suspicious way, but it's like there's more to it than just how we experience it. You know, maybe our experience is just very oversimplified, and our nervous system processes things in a way that makes it simple for us, but the reality behind it is much more complicated. you might ask, well, is there a reality behind it? And I'd say, well, clearly there's something going on here that we're not aware of. And maybe we don't have to be, but we have to adjust our paradigm and say, well, if the world around me seems completely seamless and completely solid and physical, is in fact mostly just nothing, literally nothing at all, well, clearly something's up here. Like, clearly my paradigm is flawed, right? And there's nothing particularly revolutionary about what I'm saying. This is a well-known scientific fact. It's just that it's not something we really think about, and we don't really think about the implications of it. So another problem with materialism, and it's part of my proposal, is that to say that life is physical is to kind of to put matter at the top of the ontological tree, because it carries this kind of, I don't want to say moralistic, but it carries this very sort of authoritative tone to it. It's like, life is physical, as though being physical were somehow superior to life not being physical, right? And that is a position that you're taking, right? I'm not saying that it's necessarily the wrong one, but do you really know? You see, that when you plant your flag in the ground, your mind is closed and you're not open to just asking the question. And when you don't plant that flag in the ground, when you don't say matter is the top of the pile and we cannot question matter and life is physical, when you don't do that, you realize that there's nothing actually inherently superior to physicality. It's just a belief that is, it's just part of the human mind, and it's perpetuated through culture and it's perpetuated through science and so on. But there's nothing actually superior to life being physical versus it not. Like, so what if it isn't? And so what if it is? And what is the actual truth? You see, when you say life is physical and you say it with that authoritative sort of tone behind it, which is how, you know, scientists and materialists talk about it, it's like, well, your mind is closed. You're not asking you're not asking anything at that point. And that itself is a bullshit sign of bullshit. And you're prioritizing matter over non-matter, and that's a bias. That's nothing to do with reality itself. That's just a human bias, you see. A subtle point here about physicality, and this is how I see it, is that we experience physicality because it's part of life's rule set. It's kind of like a requirement for life to operate as it does. I've mentioned this before, but I want to include it as part of my kind of proposal for why we interpret physicality in the way we do and how things really are. It's like, again, I'm saying we experience physicality because it's just part of how it works. It's part of how the experience of life works. Again, I didn't say life is physical. I said we experience physicality, right? And I just want to include that, because I'm not, in doing so, I'm not giving ontological hegemony to materialism, but I'm also saying that we must experience the world like this for a reason, right? And so we can't deny that we experience the world as physical. In the, you know, physical itself, we have to define, well, what is that? And we can question that, but we experience the basic things that I've talked about already today, and it's actually a good thing that we do. However, I'd also add to that point that we project solid, stable, permanent physicality onto our direct experience as a way to understand it. You see, it's an interpretation that we're giving our experience, and it's a self-referential interpretation. Because if I ask you, well, how's the door physical? You say, oh, you would knock on it and say, well, look, there, it's physical. But you see, as soon as you call it something, you're interpreting it and you're biasing the experience. And the experience of knocking on a door is just knocking on a door. It, you know, and if you say it's, that means it's physical, well, what does that actually mean? You see? And what I'm pointing out with this assumption, this observation that we project solidity onto our experience, is that the human mind is very tricky, you see. It confuses interpretation with direct experience. It confuses assumption with direct experience. And it makes generalizations based on small amounts of data, you see. So we cannot deny that our direct experience possesses or it behaves as though it were physical, but what we then do with that and how we then conceptualize that and hold on to those concepts and reinforce those concepts, that is on us. That is not on the world. That is not on our direct experience. And I want you to notice that you project solidity, stability, and permanence onto the world. Another point is that your perception of physicality is not a given. It's actually tied to how strongly you perceive a separation, you know, how separate you feel from the world around you. And this is directly tied to your development as a human being in various domains. And basically, well, the less separation you perceive, and the less that you project onto your experience, the more you realize that physical matter is also just an experience. Now, I'm not saying that this will like turn you into some kind of like flying angel who doesn't experience the laws of physics and stuff, but what I'm saying is that you realize that the experience of physicality is just the experience of physicality, because you stop feeling separate from it, and you realize that the way you interpret it actually influences, you know, your final perception of it. And this is something that ordinary scientists don't really realize. They don't realize the role that their mind is playing in constructing and believing in and, you know, upholding their paradigms. Now, that's not to kind of dismiss science. It's to point out a structural limitation of science, is that it tries to remove the knower. It tries to remove the person who's trying to understand the world, when you can't do that. And that is not just like a philosophical observation. That is literally a scientific observation. They've shown that in quantum physics, for example, quite clearly. So, and it's, again, it's directly tied to your human development. It's literally, you know, the more developed you are, you know, I'm speaking generally, the more developed you are, the less you project onto your experience, the less separate you feel, and the more you realize how much you're interpreting and distorting your experience by interpreting it. And when you strip away those interpretations, you realize that, yes, you experience physicality, but then, you know, well, that's an experience. And however you interpret that and conceptualize it, that's on you. That is not on the experience itself. As I've said, this is a developmental skill. It's like a developmental function or capacity that, frankly, a lot of people simply don't have. Something I want to mention as well, that the experience of matter, like any other experience, takes place only now and only here, because everything is within your direct experience now and here. Any ideas of a physical external world are simply ideas. So what I'm saying is, you only experience matter and physicality right this second, in your direct experience. You do not experience anything beyond your direct experience, whether that is spatially or temporally beyond. Is that what you say? Temporally. Let's just say temporally. Temporally beyond. So you can't experience the past or the future. You can't experience solidity in the past or the future, because all you can experience is now in terms of time. And you can only experience here in terms of... you can only experience now as here in terms of the location of now, which is right here. It's not beyond you or your current experience. It is your current experience right now. That is all you have, right? And so you're... all you have of matter is your current experience of it. And then extrapolating on your, what you do is, when you're, when you believe in materialism and physicality very strongly, you take your present experience and you add your memories onto it, and you add everything you've learned about life onto it. And then all of a sudden this grows arms and legs. And in that moment, you are taking your present experience and you're saying, this means that there is a physical solid world that appear, that exists all around me, and that I'm just this little thing existing inside of it. And I've got to deal with that. That's the materialistic paradigm. You see, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to strip away your conceptual mind and show you that all you have is right now, and that's all you've ever had. And then everything you add on to that, that is your adding. Right, that is your doing. I mean, often this is completely unconscious for most of us, but we have to realize that we're doing that, you see. Now, are those useful add-ons? Perhaps they are, and I've given reasons why they are useful. But fundamentally, we have to realize that direct experience stands alone, beyond what we think about and beyond how we conceptualize and interpret it. And it only happens right now. And so right now, your experience of physicality is that is all you have of it, right? So look right now how you're experiencing it, and that'll tell you how, what sort of relationship you have to it, right? And a very basic point right now is that most of the time we never even ask, what is physicality? You know, we will go around with the materialistic paradigm in our minds, but we never actually ask, what does it mean for something to be material? What is mass? What is physicality? What does it mean for something to be physical? So ask these questions. And then when you think you have an answer, you know, if I ask you, well, what makes that four physical? And you say, well, I can touch it with my foot. Look, there, it's physical. I can touch it with my foot. You know, it's there. It's in front of me, and I can feel it, and it feels solid. Right? Well, okay, you've got an answer, but remove the label physical and go to the raw experience. What is your raw experience? Right? You can see your foot touching the floor, and you feel something. Right? In your dreams, it's literally the same thing. Now, I'm not using this as a way to BS that the floor is physical. Clearly, you experience it as physical. What I'm saying is, have you ever asked the question, what does physical mean? Because it can be physical. Yes, we can call it physical. But what does it actually mean, right? And then if you come up with an answer to that, question that and question that. And what you're going to realize is that they're just this ball of concepts that you have in your mind. And you've never really looked at it and questioned it and said, well, fundamentally, I'm adding on to my experience here. And the only thing I have is me seeing my foot touching the floor, and maybe the sound, and then the feeling of the floor pushing back. But even saying that's the feeling of the floor pushing back is a kind of concept. All you have is a sensation in your foot, right? So why am I saying this? I'm pointing out a basic fact, is that most people just simply don't ask simple questions. And the simple questions are actually sometimes the most profound questions, because they get at the very root of your operating system, and they get you to look at these things in a way that you're usually just not, you're not paying enough attention to ask these questions. So I guess if we wanted to sum up my sort of paradigm, is that we certainly experience our present experience of the world is, it behaves physically. It's a good thing and it's undeniable, but we then add a lot onto that and we create concepts and paradigms that we don't realize are concepts and paradigms. And that is where we fall into trouble, you see. And what I'm also saying is that our direct experience stands on its own. And though it might be good to build paradigms and theories on top of that, ultimately we have to realize what we're doing. And we have to realize that physicality itself is a very mysterious thing, that in order to explain it, you have to kind of, it's a self-referential thing. You cannot step outside physicality, and I mean, that isn't actually true either, but you can't, as soon as you say, well, it's physical, you end up basically saying it's physical because it's physical and I can't explain why. And I want you to realize that, not as like a chink in the armor, but just as a kind of mysterious thing. It's like we actually don't know what physicality is, even though we all use it day to day. It's a very mysterious thing that at some point we just have to throw our hands up and say we don't know, right? So I've been speaking for 50 minutes now, and as I did last week, I feel like I should maybe start by talking about this, but it's too late now. We're going to ask, why question the paradigm? You know, why sit and listen to an episode for 50 minutes about why is the world physical, or is the world physical, when I'm just going to get up the next day and do everything that I've always done and not really think about this very much? Well, that's the reason, you know, is that it defines how you live your life, basically. You know, if you fervently believe the world is physical, you treat it as such. You treat other people as purely physical. You treat everything around you as purely physical. Sometimes this is a good thing, like if you want to leave your front door, I wouldn't suggest you try and run through it. But maybe it's actually quite limiting in other situations. Another point is that when you ardently believe the world is physical, it closes down your mind because you stop asking what does physicality mean. You don't realize that you have a lot of assumptions about what that means, and it philosophically closes you down, which is not, it's just not good. We want an attitude of questioning and openness. Not an attitude necessarily of having the answers of the world is not physical. It's more an attitude of, the world is deeply mysterious. Maybe I don't know and maybe I can't know, but I'm going to ask. And the process of asking, have an open mind, is much better than having answers. Because as soon as you think you have an answer, you're not discovering anymore. And you think that your discoveries are true, and that is a huge blind spot, you see. So it simply closes your mind. It's like the world is physical, end of story. And it's not the end of the story, because it's not as simple as that, you see. It also dumbs down your ability to create and redefine your life, because you believe the world is physical. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you believe that your life is predetermined, because you kind of think, well, the world all behaves according to Newtonian physics. You know, this force creates that, and that force creates the next one, and you know, it feels like you're just in a kind of like a clockwork universe, as they call it, And while I'm not a manifestation guy or anything, it's not as simple as that. And we're actually very powerful creatures, not in like a magical way, like we can click our fingers and all of a sudden all our dreams come true, as self-help gurus like to unfortunately tell you. But we are more powerful than we think we are. And when we believe that the world is purely physical and never question that, it really takes away that creativity and your power. It takes that away from you. Another point, why question the paradigm? Well, because seeing the world as physical means seeing yourself as physical, which means seeing that self and world are irretrievably separate. And this means that you're confused about who and what you really are, because you and your world are not irretrievably separate. And that is just a fact, right? So you see that, and this deep truth, this spiritual truth, is inaccessible if you believe that the world is purely physical, because, well, from the chain of reasoning that I've mentioned there, and you're confused about who you fundamentally are. Another point, if you believe that the world is physical, you must believe that the world accosts you, because it seems like the world behaves sort of on its own terms, which is true, but if you take that as your only paradigm, well, you start to think that the world accosts you and it's deterministic. And instead of that, if you say, I don't know, but I can trust my direct experience, you realize that the world just is as it appears to be. And you realize that your mind actually is a key player in your perception, and that it determines your life and how you act in the world. Whereas if you just believe the world is physical, well, it has this passivity to it. It's kind of like, well, the world is physical and stable and solid, so, well, I might as well just give up. You know, I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and passively accept things about my life that I'm not happy with. But, well, the world is physical and it's predetermined and all the rest of it, so I'm just going to give up. You see, it's even opening your mind to the fact that physicality maybe isn't what you think it is, it already activates the creative function inside you see. At least for me it does. You know, it gives me to say, well, maybe all my ideas are all wrong as well. Or maybe they're not exactly as true as I might like to think they are. And finally, why question the paradigm? Simply because it builds your philosophical muscle, which can build your perceptual muscles, which can build your spiritual muscles. And that's really what I'm interested in, is spiritual contact with the truth of what reality is. And asking these questions can get you to just open your mind and free your mind from its cage, which is about maintaining a separate sense of identity, which is basically the antithesis of spiritual truth. So for that alone, it's a very powerful thing to do. Some concluding remarks, and then we will wrap up. Physicality is a concept that you choose to uphold, and you can only know physicality from your own experience, because you only know everything from your own experience. Let me give you an example that has nothing to do with physicality per se. If I ask you what chocolate is, you'll start telling me all these things about chocolate, but everything that you're telling me is from your own experience, by necessity. You cannot tell me something about chocolate that isn't from your own experience, even if it's an idea or a thought. It's still your idea or your thought, right? So it's all coming from your own conception of things. So when you're hearing me talking about physicality, you're referring that to your entire web of meaning about what physicality is. And so And that web, you're actually upholding that all the time and you're reinforcing it. And when you don't realize that you're doing that, you don't realize that you're taking a lot of things for granted that maybe are actually questionable. And so you have to question this. And I'm not saying that questioning it alone will turn you into like a cloud of dust and make you can fly and all the rest of it. But what I'm saying is that it'll help you see these concepts that you have, the history of these concepts in your mind and what underlies them. And you'll realize that they're maybe a lot more flimsier than you thought. And they're actually just self-referential and they're based on your experience. And because of that, they're fundamentally limited because you've only experienced physicality from within your own sort of mental paradigm of the world. And finally, a question for you, and a kind of practice even, is can you experience physicality without building an ontology around it? What I mean is, can you experience the physical world moment to moment without having to turn it into like a giant philosophy? I think that's the mistake we make. And again, I think it's kind of a necessary thing sometimes, but on like when we're getting philosophical about it, when we're really trying to understand the truth of things, when we're building sort of big picture stories about how life operates, extrapolating our present experience is very problematic because we're building something on a very shaky foundation. And you can know for certain that the world exhibits physical properties, but that doesn't mean that the materialistic paradigm is true. Do you see the difference there? The first one is grounded in direct experience, and you can trust your direct experience beyond the concepts and interpretations you give it. But the second one is an assumption. To say that, you know, a physical, stable, external world exists and extends beyond me in all directions, and I'm just another solid thing part of that, that is a whole story you're building. That none of that is actually like directly available. That's just an interpretation that you're giving your current experience, you see. And so I want you to take this on as a kind of practice, is trying to experience the physical world without having to build a whole story around it, right? And then you're really going to start answering the question for yourself, what is physicality? Does it exist? And all these other questions that we've been looking at today. All right, everyone, I think I've given a fairly comprehensive treatment of that topic. And again, I could keep talking, but I don't want to give you answers. I really just want you to start questioning and start looking at things very differently. So, first of all, I will be chopping up this episode and posting it in fragments over the course of the week, and just kind of, you know, highlighting certain topics that we've discussed. And also, I will be back next week with a similar topic. I'm not going to give it away, but I'll be back next Wednesday, 7 p.m. UK time, 8 p.m. Central European time, 2 p.m. Eastern. I think it's 2 p.m. Eastern time, for another philosophical deep dive, I suppose you could call it, taking on another topic that I feel slightly apprehensive about, but is ultimately fascinating. For now, please sign up to my newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, and keep in touch. If you have any questions, you can also contact me through the website. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you very soon on the Deep Psychology Podcast.